add to the vision that we hear in the first reading from Isaiah, we have this vision in music that comes from Isaiah chapter 11. Creation will be at peace. In this season of creation, we have spent the last few weeks studying creation as gift and our responsibility to reciprocate, to give back, to pay forward the gifts of creation, which are abundant and enough for all. In this season, we are celebrating our essential connection, our communion with all living things and even things that aren't considered biologically living but are part of the living earth. And today, the ancient prophet of Isaiah and the modern prophet named Robin Wall Kimmerer help us to consider hope as more than a passive form of wishing. Instead, they invite us to see hope as an action word. Living in hope isn't about unreasonable optimism. It's an active process of renewal that we do. Hope is something we do. So you'll go out in joy, you'll be led into a whole and complete life. The mountains and hills will lead the parade, bursting with song. All the trees of the forest will join the procession, exuberant with applause. When we go to a football game or a hockey game or some other sporting event, and there's a big crowd, we know what exuberant applause sounds like. What does it sound like? What does it look like when the forests are exuberant in applause and the mountains bursting in song? This passage is one of the most powerful descriptions in Scripture about ecological restoration. And the other one is the one that was sung for us. Powerful visions, almost unnatural, they're so powerful, about restoration of creation at peace. It's a fantastical vision of mountains bursting in song and trees clapping their hands in celebration. Wait a minute, trees don't have hands. Oh, but they have branches and roots and leaves. Have you ever stood in the forest or under a tree or in a garden and heard the wind run through the leaves? There's some beautiful applause. But what would it take for Mount Baker and the Olympic Mountains that we can sometimes see to the south, or the North Shore Mountains that we see to the north? What would it take for them and all the magnificent coastal rainforests to clap their hands in praise in our time? What would it take? The prophet portrays creation as an active force that participates in Creator's redemption, in Creator's mission, instead of serving as a static background. And as I've already said, this is no isolated passage. The Hebrew and Christian scriptures are full of references to the powerful activity of creation in directing us toward wholeness and cheering us on. When we consider the challenges of climate change, it's natural for us to be overwhelmed. But our Creator and all creation urges us to find hope and act in hope. And the resilience and adaptability, I need a glass of water. The resilience and adaptability of Mother Earth itself shows us the way. So how can we change? How can we move toward the just communities we need and want? Kimmerer tells us that the natural process of ecological replacement seems to have two ways that it heals and replaces, renews systems that seem too big to change. One is incremental change, the slow, steady healing and replacement of a system that doesn't work. But nature also relies on dramatic disturbances from time to time that disrupt the status quo in order to let new species emerge and flower. One example of that is the natural process of wildfires that clear out smaller sections of forest and open them up for new growth and renewal. The ashes of the burned forest actually feeds new life. Of course, our involvement with the forests in this province and many others for many, many generations has interrupted and messed with that natural process. And the wildfires are wildly out of control when they come. We need disruption as well as the slow, gradual change. I hope we will use them both, she says. In these urgent times, we need to become the storm that topples the aging, destructive economies so that the new can emerge. Hope for creation means holding the tension between grief for what is lost and commitment to what can be restored. We can't lose sight of either of those. We grieve what is lost, and we hope in what can be restored. To replenish the possibility of mutual flourishing for birds and berries and people, we need an economy that shares the gifts of the earth with all. Kimmerer says that she has had a long-held belief that berry picking is the first step in a lifelong companionship with the living world. She leads groups of students on educational nature walks of discovery. And she says, I've seen it happen. Students on my walks who hold themselves back flash their skepticism of gift thinking with barely concealed eye rolls. too cool for school. There's no way they're going to put a wild wintergreen leaf in their mouths. Ew. But when we get to the raspberry bushes, I know they'll have to drop their guard. The simple act of encountering a wild berry dangling there, just waiting for their fingers and their mouth, loosens something in them to the evidence of the gift. I've begun to think that berry picking is the medicine we need to create a legion of land protectors. That's a great vision, isn't it? So simple in a way, but powerful. She goes on and shares the story of that. She says, I have some family members who have taken this a step further. They live in an urban neighborhood where they have plenty of curmudgeons growling at kids to stay off their lawns. Do we have any curmudgeons in our community? So they converted their once tiny little yard to a garden of berries and patches of flowers and put up a welcome sign for the kids in the neighborhood to come on in and find a handful of berries and pick a bouquet to take home. They converted their private yard to a common space. The currency of this gift economy is relationship and a neighborhood where people know each other's names, even the curmudgeons. This is a gift economy in reach of everyone. It's subversive and delicious. That's the kind of economy I want, subversive and delicious. We are already purveyors of this subversive and delicious gift economy as we share garden produce, as we share our community meals, as we share the wealth of all that we have and are given here with the wider community in various ways. And there is more for us to do as well. In this season, we have had a number of new kinds of blessings. We have blessed the students and teachers as they go back to school. We have blessed bicycles and scooters as people ride in creation. And today, this afternoon, we are blessing our creaturely family members, our beloved pets, who give us powerful communion with God's wondrous creation. When I was preparing this sermon last night, our cat came and announced herself by wandering on to the top of my laptop. There's something about boxes and laptops that cats love. So I had to interrupt myself and enjoy a loving moment. Maybe we could add a new activity next year and invite folks to engage in holy berry picking. What do you think? Or other opportunities for communion with creation. As we think about communion on this World Communion Sunday, we can expand our awareness, our understanding of what communion means. It's communion with God, communion with each other, communion with the whole world and all of its creatures. As we become faithful stewards of the gifts of creation. So when will the mountains burst into song and the forests clap their hands, as our ancient prophet says? Perhaps when we live in communion with all the world, the whole human family and all the creatures and elder teachers, the plants. Our modern prophet says, regenerative economies that reciprocate the gift are the only path forward to replenish the possibility of mutual flourishing for birds and berries and people. We need an economy that shares the gifts of the earth, following the lead of our oldest teachers, the plants. The Bible teaches this same wisdom. The earth, the plants, all of God's creation are our oldest teachers. They invite us all into the circle to give our human gifts in return for all we are given. How will we answer that invitation? As we continue to ponder our response to that question, let us sing together.